This is tape two, the Sam Russell Show out of Salt Lake City on July 4th, 1992.
Turn for part two of Open Mind for this 4th of July evening. And my special guest on the line is Commander Hesson. And we are chatting with the commander about some of the phenomena that has been described, and there is a good deal of that. We have your questions coming up on the line. Commander, I would like to inquire about what you alluded to right at the beginning, and this was that there, on this 4th of July, there were said to have been some events planned or some events that might happen still. Could you be a little more specific about that, what might still happen on this 4th of July?
Well, you have a situation whereby Mr. Yeltsin was over here, and at the same time that Mr. Yeltsin was here in the United States, Mr. Gorbachev was in Israel. And there were a lot of dealings going on that you ones are not made privy to. And the threats began to go back and forth. And the United States of America, I don't know how to say this, ones tune in, and this is why I can only urge you to get back copies of the journals. We cannot, in a two-hour program, begin to touch on these things.
Yeah.
So you have a situation where there has been a basic coalition. You have never been anything but allies with the Soviet Union and the leaders. And all of the banking situation has been going on, and yet you must know that these ones have one goal in mind, one goal, and that is global control. But each wants a different type of control. Now, they're perfectly happy to let you live on their planet, but you have a standoff with what was the Soviet Union or the communist Russia, communist Soviet Union. You were ordered, basically, to by the Russians, by the Soviets. I don't care by any other name. They're communists, and communists are not communists. They are socialist fascists. So the lie starts so far back that no matter what I say, it's not going to come across as credible. But you notice that the United Nations moved troops in to stabilize in Yugoslavia while you could bring cargo ships in and out. Now, what in the world do you think you're bringing in and out of there? Just this day, you are landing one after another C-30s. These are the biggest transport craft that you have. And yet they handed out these packets to the people at the airport, and they only had 300 packages. They didn't even have enough for the people who were there. And yet your non-news said, oh, but there is plenty of ammunition. What in the world do you think they're hauling in there? And for whom? And the Serbians have said, if the United States gets into this and comes ashore with troops, you are into another Vietnam like you couldn't believe, because it has to do with the world and the European economy and the EC, or the European Community. Russia wants more funding. And so the word was handed forth that you will make us a permanent member of the major financial nations, the G7.
Right.
And we will be G8.
Well,
and Mr. Bush said, no way. And he said, Mr. Bush, I believe that you better reconsider that. So within days, you start having unseasonal weather. You start having earthquakes. You start having floods. You start having hailstorms, and your volcanoes start erupting. And one day, Mr. Bush says, we are going to hold stable. We are not going to lower the interest rate. We're not going to lower the lending rates or the prime or whatever. And the very next day, he did that, you notice. The Feds lowered it. Now, who borrows that money? the banks, the International Monetary Fund, and nations like Russia? Or is it beginning to make a little bit of sense?
Yes, it is.
So Japan says, well, you boys go ahead and play that game. Japan will not go along with that. No way, Jose. End of conversation. And in the midst of it all, with cameras on Mount Oso, it exploded. It literally exploded without one warning. That mountain was blown, that volcano was blasted and hit Japan with just multitudes of jello shivers. That's what I call your desert out here. Ones don't seem to understand that at Yucca Valley, after that first quake, the earth is total liquid. Those pulses liquefy the land. And one crack opened up, a car was hanging over the edge. The second jolt hit before they could get it pulled off there, and the crevice just simply swallowed it. It just sank into this molten material.
So
this is called liquefaction.
So by the ground being liquefied that way by the skater beams, this really makes it much more susceptible to damage when they really do decide to trigger the big one.
Absolutely. I mean, it just, you know, and yet they can control it. And they're going to hold you hostage. This is called blackmail. Now, Japan, you will notice, went right along with the plan. They immediately capitulated. You see, your leaders know the power involved here. And yet so much of it is also connected with this committee of 300.
Yeah.
Now, we have a situation where guess who was prancing around representing, I assume, the United Nations, this Lord Carrington. Does anybody know who Lord Carrington is? Probably not. He was former head of NATO, but that's not why he was running around at Sarajevo.
Why was he there then?
He is head chairman of the Bilderberg Society, which is the primary one busiest arm of the Committee of 300 World Controllers.
And so he is the current head of that. Directorship of the Bilderbergers does rotate, does it not?
Yes, and this year he's chairman.
Huh.
So he is there fulfilling the mission of those bankers. Now, what in the world do you think they may have going there? You see, the point was for the bankers to be able to take over all of the resources of all of these East Bloc nations. And the facts are that you ones, I am astounded at America. You are letting them do this to you. You are letting them take your constitution. I don't know exactly what else you would do. It's so late now in the game. But you see, a lot of these nations do not want to give up their sovereignty. And you believe that you don't want to give up yours when, in fact, you already have.
We already have. I noticed that just a week or two ago, I think it was Denmark or one of those Scandinavian, one of those upper countries in Europe voted not to join the EC.
It was Denmark, yes.
Denmark, yeah. And so that must have been quite a shock for those people. I wonder how they will bring Denmark into line.
Oh, they'll bring, well, you can starve them out just like you. They thought they could do Iraq.
Well, we have calls waiting, and I tend to dominate the conversation here. Let's go to Chris. You're on K-Talk with Commander Hatton.
Hi, Ken.
Yes, Chris.
Salutations, Commander.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
My question is there anything politically that we can do? Is there anyone that we could elect that can help change this? And if not, then how do we do personal survival?
Well,
an all-inclusive question.
The question was if there's anyone that you can elect to change it. I believe that it could have been had you been able to get someone like Commander Greitz early on. But you will notice that although he is running for president, you will never hear him mentioned. And as he has already been into the Golden Triangle and has tried to get out your POWs and MIAs, that, by the way, are still alive in that country. He really experienced some unbelievable things, and I cannot urge any of you enough to get his material. I know that he has been to Salt Lake and has spoken. This is a credible man. Quite frankly, he is a very close friend of mine, and we have very good rapport. This is something that is not touted out there in public. This is the first time I have said it in public other than to just say, you need him. This is an honorable, godly man, and he will do what he feels must be done to bring your nation back into godness.
And are there indications that there is disinformation activities afoot to try to discredit Colonel Grice?
Oh, absolutely. They are having SOLARS is having a subcommittee hearing right now on MIAs and POWs, and they've already said that he is a hoaxer and a phony and he's lied, and oh yes, absolutely. Now you see, you're going to have to go back to Ross Perot. Ross Perot early on was a friend of Beau Gride's, but you must know that Ross Perot is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is one step under the Bilderberg Society and the Trilateral Commission in world power, political elite power. And as a matter of fact, this seeming upstart that is going to upset this government, I believe you're going to find that Mr. Bush seconded Mr. Perot's nomination to be a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Mr. Perot is a very, very close friend of David Rockefeller. So you have an established establishment person in Mr. Perot. I do believe that before Mr. Perot capitulated to whatever he had to quote, buy the White House for you American people, I believe that he was of such stature that had he formed a coalition, say, with Commander Grice, they could have gotten a worthy job done. I look and I see that politically, in the system that you have, I don't see how it can be brought about, a massive, major restructuring of your country. It will go farther down, is my expectation, into farther entrapment. And then you will have to take the fragments and rebuild.
You suggest that at one time it might have been possible for Perot to possibly effect some changes. You seem to suggest that now that is not the case, even if he's elected. What happened?
I just believe that he cannot. You have a paid for Congress. It's going to be very hard for anyone to make changes, and Mr. Perot doesn't intend to make the kind of changes, say, that Commander Grice said he was going to make.
We have a paid for Congress. Let me ask you, there are candidates, there's one in particular that comes to mind here in Utah named Cannon, who is quite wealthy. He is funding his own campaign for the Senate out of his own pocket. He says that he takes no money whatsoever from any special interest, and that he is not beholden to anyone. And so is it possible that a person such as this might be able to get to Congress and have some effect, or will they be able to get to him too?
Well, it depends on whether or not he has succumbed to any kind of the briberies that they usually have going, and how he got to where he is, to the point where he can support his own campaign. The dirty tricks get pretty vile, and they don't have to be true. They just make a presentation out there, and you're had. And that will be caught up, you see, into the planned, orchestrated media. And pretty soon, everyone is believing it. They've trained you to watch that voodoo box. And as Mr. Perot says, you are really now deep in voodoo. And I don't know how you're going to get out of it, because all of your training has come from that TV box, and you don't have any other kind of information. So you base everything on what is coming and being fed to you. It is just that if this one comes out of the family of one Quentin Cannon, I think you have some hope of having a good person as a representative out of Utah. And I believe that the whole Cannon family would fit into that category, pretty much.
Well, that's good to, know.
Commander, then if we can't change it politically, how do we do self-survival? And I will hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Chris.
You're going to have to play within their system. What they really want you to do is rise up in arms and fight them. This labels you. Ones will say, oh, well, I'm not going to be marked by that beast. The facts are, before you are a thought, you are marked by that beast. And they are just waiting for the ones to rise up and give trouble so they can shoot you. Literally, I'm talking about kill you dead. And under emergency regulations, the ones that are the troublemakers will be incarcerated, and they already have those places of incarceration ready and waiting. As far as survival itself, get yourself ready with any kind of survival that you would have for an emergency. A little bit of food and some water. And then if you can, enlarge that and put aside quite a lot of food. Your government has given away all of your grain supplies and reserves.
I've heard that we're down to like 2 or 3 days reserve in this country now.
Yes. I'm sorry to have to agree. I wish that I did not have to. You know, I would wish I would be wrong. You are from a place where there are more bomb shelters in backyards than any other place. After the war, and while the hot war was going on and then the Cold War, there was such an expectation of invasion by the Russians and atomic war that you're going to be astounded if one's owned up to how many shelters there are in Salt Lake City's backyards. You can get a book called Fighting Chance by Dr. Arthur Robinson, who lectures on survival facilities. Your own government puts out how to survive atomic war and radioactive fallout right out of Oak Ridge. And there is a series of tapes that show you everything from building a little trench shelter to a good-sized underground survival facility. I had hoped when we started writing these journals, I worked with Dr. Robinson, and I have just pushed his material on a little bit farther. That's what we do. We write journals. I don't call these books because they are dated material. I am compiling information that is already available on your place so that you can get it integrated and look at it. You cannot fix something until you know where it's broken. You cannot stand against an enemy until you know who is your enemy and what is apt to happen.
Yes. Okay. Let us move on, and we will go to the Weber Davis line. And Henry, you're on K-Talk with Commander Hatton.
Hello, and good evening, Commander.
Good evening.
I have two questions. When I look through my little telescope at the strobing lights that Desiree Green says is one of the many ships surrounding our planet, can you see us looking at you? And the second question is, can you comment, if you know William Cooper and the credibility you might give William Cooper, who gives out information across the country?
Well, William Cooper and I have a sort of a mutual distant respect for one another. Mr. Cooper has a lot of problems, and not the least of which was an overwhelming Earth ego. And he took his information, overcharged for his information, and gave forth a lot of very, very incorrect conclusions. As he has grown, so has his information. And I have a great deal of respect for the information that he is giving forth now. There are still some real problems. He wants to conclude that little gray aliens are holding your government hostage. I believe that you can look at the problems on your planet and see that nobody is holding your administration and your government hostage, except this day, today, in this moment of time, the Soviet Union is still holding you hostage. But other than going into that with little spacemen running around, etc. These are DNA replications, and these are right off your own drawing boards.
The gray aliens that we see depicted in Whitley Strieber's book and all the other depictions.
Yes,
of
those
aliens, these are actually
those original little beings are from planets Reticulum Zeta 1, Zeta 2,
mm-hmm.
and they did come to your place. But the ones that you will now see are soulless little replications. Let me remind you that when you cannot handle the idea of robotoids or duplicates, that I have something I'd like to say to you. It is very, very simple to duplicate something. All you need is one cell. I would like for you to think for a moment of maternal twins, where you have similar genetic structure, similar DNA structure, but there will be enough genetic difference that you're going to have something different, one from the other. When you take a DNA replication, you have a perfect duplicate. And you can do it from one cell. So a lot of little grays, as you would put it, have been tinkered with and have been reproduced, and they're in a lot of these underground facilities. I like it, personally, because what you of Earth have done and what I consider the adversary has done as is build an army for God. Because, you see, you cannot, and the adversary cannot, create what we call the breath of life that gives literal spiritual existence or life to these beings. And these are originally God-fearing, God-respecting, God-revering beings. And so when God enters the picture, God's got an army, and you've got trouble.
All right. Let us go to Steve. Steve, you are on K-Talk with Commander Hatton.
Yes, Commander Hatton. I was wondering, when we go through this photon phase of the 100 hours of energy blackout, if, as I remember when I was growing up as a kid, I made a crystal radio, and it didn't have a battery, as I remember. And I'm wondering if we may be able to pick up some radio communication as far as survival goes with possibly a crystal radio, if we can get a hold of those during this proton, this photon phase.
Yes, you should be able to. You should be able to.
Will some of the radio stations be able to transmit during this time?
Only the ones that are so sophisticated as to have the capability of photon energy. Now, you see, you have it. The government has it. They just keep it away from you. Utah, as I started to say about the DNA replication, the first real public notice of DNA replication of humanoid species came right out of Salt Lake, and it was put to videotape. And the first tape was shown, and I believe this was probably in your 50s. So it's a long time ago. Now you have progressed mechanically and technologically till you are powering a new craft. To you, it's not a new craft, but it is being powered with light energy or photon energy. And they've got that thing up in the air most of the time. So, yes, this is why I had not made very much to do about the photon belt. For one thing, I didn't want to get in a standoff of Space Command and hold you hostage because of my opening my yap about it. And this is a kind of games being played against you. They're getting ready to spring alien species on you to finish uniting you so that you will turn in your guns, you will do whatever the government wants to fight this common enemy from space. Well, you see, we have a pretty good working relationship with the cosmospheres, which are Soviet.
So you cooperate or... when you say a working relationship, what does that really mean?
There has been a great deal of respect, and perhaps when I say Soviet, that maybe is a bad term, because you're going to find that most of the let us call them the good Russians. The good Russians. I don't know what else to call them to separate them out for you. The non-Bolshevik. The Soyuz, Pamyet, segment of even the military of Russia control those cosmospheres. They control space. They got a head start on you ones. And they have both the capability of total shielding and time travel. They have spent most of their funding on outer space technology, wherein you did not, although you did a joint venture with them on bases on Mars and on the dark side of the moon. But they didn't like you there. You began to give them some trouble, and they still hold supremacy in outer space. And we, as a cosmic fleet, have the permission of stopping nuclear warheads from coming out past 150 miles into space to strike one of those bases. Now, you ones, right from Edwards Air Force Base in California and right from Vandenberg, have shot at both our craft and the cosmospheres. And when you had the cosmonaut recently hung up in space, that they said they didn't have enough money to land him, that's not what happened. The United States of America hit their space platform with a missile, with a rocket. And you see, you take your rockets out there, and then you boost and shoot fire from those rockets once you get the rocket out into space. And you shot out their space platform, and it really made them angry, and it damaged some of their cosmospheres, and this man was trapped.
I've heard this before. I've read some of the material, and yet as I hear you describe it, it still sounds so far out. It is right now. It is happening right now.
Mr. Russell, it is so far out, and I know that it is so hard to believe that I just simply have not subjected my scribe and speaker.
Well, thank you.
This is only about the third time.
All things start with thoughts and begin from there and go on from there, and I don't doubt that these things can take place.
Research. Read. I compile it. You take the journals, but go and research it. We give you resources. We've just put them out like every 3 weeks and a paper a week. And it's massive, massive amounts of information.
It is amazing that you're able to put out that much material. It really is phenomenal when you see the size of the Liberator, 20 or more pages every week, plus a journal every 3 weeks or so.
That's
really amazing.
That has been intentional. I've used one scribe, this speaker. The reason that we have done this is because if one person can write it, everybody has no excuse for not at least reading it. Our intent is not to be a fortune teller, not to come down and give you miracles, but to tell you where to go to find truth.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate your call, Steve. And we do need to take a break right here, and we will be right back with Commander Hatton.
Thank you.